From all of us here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM and online at WWGH1071.com, we thank you very much for listening. Lots of great programming ahead for you in 2019. This is Adam Lipp. During this 45-minute segment, I will be paying tribute to some of the celebrities interviewed by Scott Spears, as you may know, I call him the interviewer to the stars, whom we lost during 2018. Many of these folks have graced our microphones several times, and we've enjoyed the time they spent with us. Please go to our archives on the website, WWGH1071.com, to hear these interviews in their entirety. Let me start off with a great actress, a personal favorite of mine. She made a memorable guest appearance on one of my favorite shows, All in the Family, but is known best for her role as Mrs. Edna Garrett, first on Different Strokes, and then on The Facts of Life. She wrote a book that she talked to Scott about and addressed some issues that she had in her personal life, her legacy as a wonderful character actress, the late Charlotte Ray.
We had had you on the program here, I think it was back in October of 2014, and there had been a leak or a story, this is before the book's published, about your husband being bisexual, and I had brought that up, and at that time you didn't want to talk about it, so I found it very interesting that you wrote about it.
Yes, well, Larry and I were able to write about it in an honest way, and I'm sure a lot of women identify with what I went through, and it's part of life, and that's the way it is. But the love continues. You know, we all loved each other. Yeah.
Your son Andy is a big part of the book. The son you mentioned who was mentally challenged. What is that like to have a child who is in institutions throughout their life?
Well, read the book. I can't tell
you. You're right. It's in the book. It's in the book, right. But there are some... Is there anything in the book you regret putting in?
No. No, I think it's very, very good to be very open and very honest.
Absolutely.
I am who I am, and this is who I am. You know?
Absolutely. Is there...
And it gives other people courage to know that I have survived many illnesses and many challenges, and I'm, by the grace of God, one day at a time, I'm still here enjoying my life.
And you recently had a birthday on April 22nd, a milestone birthday. Was that a fun time for you?
Wow. I was busy rehearsing for the play, but I received a million balloons and flowers from everywhere, all my theater friends, my television friends, my cousins, my children, my Lord, my house was a festival of flowers and balloons. And we celebrated, a couple of my friends set up the table, and my kids brought in, my son and my daughter-in-law, and my grandkids brought in food, and we had a grand celebration. It was beautiful. Couldn't have been better. Couldn't have. No.
What is it like to be grandma at this time in your life? Is that a fun job?
Yes, yes. Oh yeah. They're wonderful kids, and we get on fine, and they're proud of me, and I'm proud of them, and it's wonderful. But I have a lot of people that are very close to me. I have good friends, and we're very supportive of each other, and, you know, life is good. Life is beautiful. Each day is a birthday. Everybody should live in the now. Every day is a birthday. Because you never know when you're going to be hit by a bus or something. So enjoy the day.
Absolutely. When you look back at your life over these 90 years, what would you consider to be the best time?
Today.
That's a wonderful outlook. Was there a time when life was sincerely difficult, where you ever thought, boy, this is just not great?
Yeah, when I first found out about Andy's condition, because in the beginning, he was just a normal-looking little baby. And then when I found out, you know, when I found out, it's in the book where the I finally went to a doctor who analyzed him at a child development center, and he said to me, he's autistic. And I thought he said artistic. So I almost sank to my knees to thank God that he was okay. He was just a little offbeat because he was artistic. I had never heard the word autistic at that time. Autism was not known very well at that time. Little did I know that it was going to change my life. I thought I would never work again because I needed to be there to see what we can do with my son. Well, read the book. You'll find out all about it.
This is Adam Lepp with a 2018 tribute to guests of the Scott Spears program who passed away earlier this year. Thank you very much for joining us. As a radio person, I have great admiration for people that have a unique voice that you can identify in a couple syllables of their speech. An example would be Mr. Robin Leach. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, host of that program, and voiceover actor in so many great commercials and other performances. And a cool gentleman, too, with some excellent, interesting political perspectives to stimulate a brain cell or two. We thank this legend for having spoken with Scott Spears on his radio program.
Robin, two things I want to get into here, because we're on limited time. I certainly understand that. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous profiled Donald Trump years ago. What are your memories of that?
You know, we profiled the Donald several times, and I always found him a charming and very inquisitive man about television. He would actually spend more time than I had with him to interview him, asking questions about why the cameras were positioned where they were, how you used two shots, how you used one camera to make it look like you had two cameras. He was very inquisitive about the production side of television, and I always remembered it because I thought it odd. Because he went into it at such great detail. And of course, when he wound up on television with Celebrity Apprentice, I understood why he'd been asking all the questions. And now, when I watch him out politicking, you understand how he uses the media to his advantage. What has he spent? $1.30 on advertising, while his opponent has spent millions. And Donald is the master at making fortunes out of not spending tons of money.
That being said, when he announced he was running for president, what did you think last June when that happened?
I was not at all surprised because he'd sort of hinted at it. You know, I'd once asked him if he ever had an inkling for political office, and he said maybe the right time would come. It certainly did. So I wasn't really surprised. I will be very candid and tell you I was surprised that he wound up with the nomination, and I didn't think that was going to happen. But you know, he has this. It's a strange thing to say. It's like a bombastic charm. I think if you cast back your mind to the movie Network, when Peter Finch flung up the window and screamed at everybody that he wasn't going to take it anymore, that's Donald Trump today, and he is echoing the country's thoughts that we're not going to take it anymore.
What does that say about this country? What is it we are not going to take? Because his main issue seemed to be Mexico and being a good businessman.
No, I don't know if it's just the immigration issue with Mexico. I think that it is, you know, a general feeling that the current government has sort of manipulated employment figures to make everything look rosy. People are not better off. The debt has gone up incredibly high since in the last 8 years of the Obama administration. And the Donald has just, you know, called everybody on it. You know, we're treated as a doormat around the world. I've just come back from a month in Italy, and we're laughed at. That was never America. They want America to lead the world. You know, overseas, they really do believe that America has a duty to keep the world on an even keel. And they sort of fear that we've lost our leadership role. And I think that that's all part of we're not going to take it anymore.
Temperament seems to be the issue with Donald Trump. Is he the person to balance it out in their minds?
You know, you can never tell what a person is going to be like if and when they make it to the Oval Office. You know, the last go round we were promised hope and change, and we got no hope and a ton of change that wasn't for the better. Donald is promising that he'll build a wall. He will bring jobs back from overseas countries. These are all hot button issues that resonate with the American voting public. They want the answers to those questions, and they want somebody who has a sort of like a bullheaded go get 'em approach to solving problems in political office, because let's face it, you know, with food stamps at an all-time record high, debt which has doubled, tripled in the last 8 years to, what is it, $19 billion, but if you really add on, you know, underfunded expenses like Social Security and Medicare, we're up at $50 trillion. Dollars. These are staggering figures that America is in debt for.
The football program at The Ohio State University is world famous, and so are many of the recent head coaches. Mr. Earl Bruce passed away recently. We're saddened by the loss, as he was a great gentleman, and he spoke with Scott Spears.
You can't be a magician and say, this is going to happen in football, or that's going to happen in football. I'll give you the one. No one thought that our football team would win the national title when we started against Wisconsin. They thought we were going to lose to Wisconsin. They thought we were going to lose to Alabama. They thought we were going to lose to Oregon. Very few thought we had an opportunity to win the national title. There are those that believe that can happen, and there were. And that's great. That's what makes football so exciting. You can't say this is going to happen or that's going to happen. I'll bet you down in Alabama, I heard them all talking about how weak the Big Ten is, how weak it is and how it is. I mean, they, how do they know? I look at it now, the SEC's a weak conference. God almighty, they played trash in that league. Or you go to the Pacific Coast and Oregon, trash in Oregon. They didn't win anything. They weren't physical enough to win anything. I'll tell you what, our guys were physical and ready to win, and they won it. And if God bless them, they played their heart out to do it.
Absolutely, and I think in Ohio we do relish this victory. I think just we're always looking ahead.
I'm talking before the game. I'm talking before the game. They didn't think we had a chance, and they but deep down, and I know what they thought afterwards. Yeah, everybody knows afterwards who wins. It's before the game. How do they feel? I mean, that they're question mark. But I think it's great that we won the national title. But it's a great thing because they really worked hard to improve after we played Virginia Tech. They worked hard to improve themselves and gain it. And I saw that, and people saw that improvement. And you saw it in the kids in the play that they did and how they put out. Oh, we had a stumbling block here and there. In football, you do. And you got to get through that stumbling block so that you win the game. And we did that. And we went to, overtime at one time and won the game. It's a great game. It's a you can't decide because there's so much who's going to play that day? What team's going to show up to play that day? And how are they going to play? How together they get? They were really humming as a team. As a football team after we played the league championship game, but boy, what growth they had! No one could have predicted that growth probably, or projected it. Anyone that watched the team in practice and saw what was going on and doing that, they would feel what a good job the coaching staff was going. The coaching staff and the young players meshed. And now we got an opportunity to come back with a real powerhouse football team next year and open the season. And the challenge is to face the teams that we're going to play and have victory every time. That's really a challenge because now you're the target that they want to knock down.
Absolutely, and I think Ohio State certainly is in that position. Do you think the media has treated Ohio State fairly?
Absolutely. I don't think they've ever mistreated them. They haven't always thought that they were going to win, I bet, but what do you say? I think when you start to win, you get a bandwagon going, and there's people that start to come over and say, hey, man, what an opportunity. And when you look at it, that's why the Buckeye Nation is so good. And look at the games we went to. What was 70% of the stadium against Oregon was Buckeyes. 60% against Alabama was probably Buckeyes. And when you go to the league championship, it was even greater than that probably. But that's what we do. We do support the Buckeyes. There's no doubt about that.
When you came in as head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, you came in at an interesting time, Coach Woody Hayes being let go from the university. With the press and everything swirling at that time, how hard was it for you to take over from that great man?
Not hard at all. Not hard at all because he didn't make it hard. He made it easy. He supported me all the way through my career of 9 years, and he passed away my last year. Some said if he lived, I probably wouldn't have been fired. I don't know about that at all, but I want to tell you something. He's the most loyal person in the world and the most wonderful guy to talk to about the game of football. But he was a tough guy, and he was a tough for the people. some didn't understand Coach Hayes. He made me what I was because he brought me back when I left school and was going to stay in Cumberland, Maryland, and maybe go to school someplace else and not come back to Ohio State when I lost my knee. But so that being said, he called and said, come back. I want you to coach football and help coach the football team.
Adam Lepp back with you on a special tribute to celebrities we lost in 2018 who spoke with Scott Spears on his radio program here at The Talking Place. When it comes to multi-talented performers, the list is really quite short. Many celebrities try different types of entertainment: comedy, hosting a show, playing an instrument, singing, composing, and just talking about life. But not a lot of them do it well. At the top of that list is the legendary Mr. Roy Clark, host of a TV show that I watched often as a child, Hee Haw. A very funny gentleman, not a bad singer either, and he pretty much could play any instrument that he picked up. He passed away at the age of 85 earlier in 2018, and we thank him greatly for having spoken with Scott Spears.
Roy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Scott, it's a pleasure to be here, but I don't deserve all those credits, especially the one about the 100 years.
Well, you haven't been around 100 years, but you're one of the greatest in the last 100 years.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you very much.
Roy, we're sitting on your tour bus right now. Now, do you prefer to travel by bus rather than plane?
Well, I've done both. The only thing is that it's quite expensive, especially these days, to go by plane. I couldn't go commercial. That'd be too much of a hassle. But I had my own airplane and flew for about 30 years. And that really spoiled me.
What are some of the amenities that you have on the tour bus here that are special for you?
Well, my instruments are right at hand. My stage clothes are right at hand. My lounge clothes are just easy to get to. So the convenience of it, it's the second best thing to just staying at home. You know, I go for different rooms at the house to get different things that I want. Whereas on the bus, I can more or less say, okay, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, so I need these clothes for there, these clothes for there. But as wise as I sound now describing it, I'm no better now packing than I was the first day that I did. So it, but a bus is probably the best, taking everything into consideration, the best way to go. It sure beats riding in a station wagon, pulling a little one-wheel trailer, which I have done and did for years. My wife drove while I slept, and then I would perform, and she would sleep, and we would go out together. Looking back on its fond memories, but it was, I wouldn't want to do it again.
Roy, anytime I sit down with a musician, and certainly a musician of your caliber, I always have to ask this question. When did you know you were able to sing? When did you know you were able to play an instrument? Because I have no musical ability at all, so I'm always amazed by that.
Well, I really don't know, Scott. It, I guess it was the first time that I sang in front of a bunch of people and they didn't walk out. I thought maybe I could make a living at it. But my dad played music and his brothers. So I was around music from the time that I was in a crib. And it's just has always been inside of me. But I've always played just for the music and not for the monetary rewards that may follow. You know, that's a whole different ball game. You have to play music for music and enjoy it. If you get made, and if you can make a living at it, that's all well and good too. But it never gets better than sitting on the front porch with your family and just playing.
Is that true?
It is very true.
Why is that?
It's because that is what music is. Music is all the cliches you've ever heard. The sound that soothes the savage beast. The universal language known all over the world. And it's true. And it bridges gaps, too, between people. It makes people that enjoy music accept each other a little easier. You know, if you play music, like when we went to the Soviet Union, most of them didn't understand English, but they understood the music. And it really did dawn on me that if it wasn't for music, I don't know what I would be doing.
Roy, when you're sitting on the front porch, what are you singing?
I'm not really singing as much as I'm hearing. I'm hearing just the beauty of a single note on a nice instrument, a guitar, a mandolin, a fiddle, or banjo, or, you know, and it just, when you strike the chord, it doesn't stop at the head. It goes through your entire body, you know. And to see sitting around with your grandparents and your parents and your brothers and sisters and neighbors and stuff, to see them want to sit there and listen to you play, it just doesn't get any better than that.
Do you have a favorite song?
Do I have a favorite song? As long as I've been doing this, Scott, I have so many favorite songs. But I would have to say, for a lot of reasons, and not just the message of the song, but yesterday when I was young, looking back on it, all of the things that are written in the song are things that almost all of us can look back to whatever degree and say, yeah, I could have done that better.
If you know our very own Scott Spears, you know that he's a big wrestling fan. And not surprisingly, as the interviewer to the stars, he has spoken with many wrestling legends, past and present, on his program. We were saddened by the loss of two of those legends in 2018. First, Nikolai Volkov, a Yugoslav-born American wrestler, best known for his performances in the WWF.
Nikolai, you were also there at a very unique time when the business changed from the father, Vince McMahon Sr., to the son, Vince McMahon Jr. A lot of people didn't make that change. Some did, but a lot didn't. What was that change like?
Well, you know, language and people, through the history, they change all the time. It's just like river. You cannot, in a river, water never stay the same place. Always moving forward. Just like people. At that time, people was different, and matches, wrestling was different. Richard Mann Jr. was a very, very smart man. He said, it's a time for change. Let's give people 100% entertainment. And he did. And guess what? He did it great. He made the first WrestleMania. And at first WrestleMania, I was there with Iron Sheik, my partner. We won tag team belts from Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham. It was unbelievable. And my God, when you see all those people there, it was beautiful. It was New York, same place. But the excitement of the people, and it was unbelievable.
You know,
from day on, you know.
Well, you know, Nikolai, as I opened the interview saying, you're one of the few people who've wrestled Bruno Sammartino at his height and Hulk Hogan at his height. What was it like to be in there during the cable boom,
Vince McMahon Jr.'s got the company in the ring with Hulk Hogan?
Hogan was, you know, good attraction. He looked good. He looked good, you know, and it was just a right time, a right spot, the right time, right place, the right time, you know. And I was lucky to be there, and whole couple records with him one time, I believe. First time, Newark Arena was sold out. I was wrestling Hulk Hogan, and it was good. It was good.
Now WrestleMania this year, I believe this coming up I think it's early April this year. It's always late March, early April. WrestleMania this year will turn 33. Is it WrestleMania 33, Nikolai?
I think it's 34. I'm not sure.
Is it 34? There might be 34. In any event, 34 years ago, you were there at the first one. Did you ever think it would be here 30-something years later?
Lots of people, old-timers, they have a good mind for the business, said that's going to be impossible. But then I believe it, and I said that. I said, yes, it could be done. It could be done. But you have a new generation. It took a time. You know, it's not come overnight. It took, as a matter of fact, one time the dresser, Vince McMahon was asking different wrestlers, very good, you know, good wrestlers. I mean, they have a lot of experience, including myself. Asking, you think I could change from wrestling to entertainment? And I told him no. He come to me and asked me. I said, yes, you can do it. But it will take at least 10 years. All the guys look at me like I was kind of nuts. He said, why do you think it will take me 10 years? I said, because you need to grow a new generation, people that watch television. Those people, they are all wrestling fans. Some of them might come up, but mostly not. You are basing a new thing on the new people, new generation, and as they become on television, Vince announcement, new generation wrestling.
You know, that's interesting, Nikolai. What do you consider, because you were there when the change happened, and you continue to wrestle to this day, and you'll be wrestling on February the 18th here in Marion at the VFW, but what is the difference between wrestling in your day and entertainment in your day?
Well, it's a big thing. See, the wrestling is always entertainment. Every professional, I believe every professional sport is entertainment. Entertainment is not what you do, it's what people receive from you. For example, not many people could understand this, but I hope those who've been wrestling for a long time, they could understand. For example, here in the United States, you have a good guy, you have a good guys and bad guys. When you go wrestle in Japan, when you do something bad in the ring, something dirty, nasty in the ring, people will clap and laugh.
Also from the world of professional wrestling, Nicholas Busick from nearby Steubenville, Ohio, better known as Big Bully Busick. He also worked as a police officer, a flamboyant, always funny and entertaining professional wrestler. At the age of only 63, we lost him on May 8th, 2018. Here is one of many clips from interviews that he did with Scott Spears here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.
You said when you got to Marion, you were going to slap the taste out of my mouth. You accused Bobo Brazil Jr. of things. Then the second time we talked, you got a little bit of the coward in you, and you had your lawyer call in, and he threatened us with lawsuits and whole titanium plates, and now you've rigged the contract, which we'll get into in just a moment for Saturday night. So by the third time we talk, why would I have anything nice to say about you?
I rigged the contract? I rigged the contract?
Yes.
Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? You got a guy running around with the heavyweight championship of the world around his waist, carrying that belt, and fans cheering for him, but I'm going to expose him for that titanium surgically implanted, I might add. You probably paid for it to put in his head so when he does that cocoa butt, he just knocks people out. Well, who wouldn't get knocked out when you got a titanium implant surgically implanted in your head?
No. Here's how you've rigged the contract for Saturday night. We have a whole lot of developments to talk about, and this is just the first one. Last time, folks, we talked about this, and I said, I don't think Bully is too bright because he's managing the Butcher Beast that night, and he wants a stipulation put in the contract to where if Bobo Brazil Jr. uses the headbutt that night, that he's immediately disqualified. Now, I didn't understand this, because this is a heavyweight title match, and if Bobo was disqualified, yes, he would lose the purse money that night, and he would have a loss in the record books, but it would be by disqualification. And as all you wrestling fans know, a heavyweight title can only change on pinfall or submission. But we looked at that contract, and Big Bully Busick signed on behalf of the Butcher Beast. Now, the contract was drawn up by this shyster lawyer that Busick has, and when we finally pulled it out and looked at it, and we have a member of the executive committee here today who we're going to bring out here momentarily, but the contract does read that if Bobo loses that match in any way, pinfall, submission, disqualification, countout, that the title changes hands. So So what kind of cowardly move was that?
Hold the phone, Jerry Brown. What you see is what you get. What's happening here is what you try to do, as you always do. You manipulate things behind the scene. You're a lot like that guy that started the fights at the Trump rallies and said, "Oh no, we didn't do it." See, that's the way you operate, Scott Spears. I got hidden video on you being a proponent of Bobo Brazil Jr. And what I did was, you painted yourself in a corner.
On February 12th of this year, we lost a very funny man, Marty Allen, at the age of 89. Spoke with Scott Spears a couple times and always kept us laughing, but also provided interesting perspectives on show business, his life, and some of his favorite female comedians.
And I say I've been very fortunate that I live in a time with superstars that we'll never see come our way again.
Absolutely.
You know, and I was friends with so many wonderful people, Joan Crawford, Barbara Stanwyck, to be on the Hollywood Squares with Paul Lynn and Charlie Weaver and Rose Marie and Wally Cox. These are great, great, wonderful gifts in my life, and I enjoy thinking of all the wonderful things that happened in my life, and the wonderful things that happened in the part of my show business life also, and I'm very happy, and we enjoy living, you know.
And people can get that book, MartyAllen.com, if they want to order that. You know, Marty, though, one of the most interesting things about your life, World War II, you have a Soldier's Medal of Bravery.
Yes.
What happened? Tell people that.
Well, I was on the ground crew in the 15th Air Force. We were stationed in Italy, and they were refueling an airplane. And the truck has 4,000 gallons of high-octane gasoline. And in order to put the gasoline in the plane, there's a motor on the back of the truck. and when you start the motor, the gasoline goes up to the hoses, and two guys would be up there putting the fuel in, and somehow the motor caught on fire, and the two guys that were on the wings, they jumped off. They were on their way to the Vatican, and somehow I got in the truck and pulled the, they had left the hoses on the wing, but I pulled the truck away and got it away and ran around and fought the flames on the back of the motor, and then made sure that none of the flames caught on to the gun turret, the cover on the front of the plane, and checked it, and then went into the what they call the bomb bay where the bombs were, made sure that nothing, no sparks or anything had caught fire. And I really don't know. I just start protecting the plane and make sure that the truck would not. If it would have been less than 4,000, like 2,000, it would have been a very different story. By the time they came with those hoses with the snow, and I walked out, they couldn't believe it. They had an investigation and found what I had done, and I was awarded the Soldier's Medal for bravery. But boy, did I catch hell from my mother. She says, "I didn't expect you to do anything like that."
It always comes from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, Marty, when you have an experience like that, it has to be somewhat life-changing. Does it change your life in any way?
No, it changed my pants.
I can imagine. Marty, when you have a career like yours that has spanned so many decades,
yeah.
Has there ever been a night where you got up on stage and the crowd just wasn't with you?
Well, to be very honest, I don't remember ever having the crowd not with me.
Good.
I've been very fortunate in walking out, saying hello there, and seeing the response of the audience. And then we go into our routines, and we get reaction. Maybe you're thinking like maybe at the beginning of my career. Or
yeah, what was
like
it?
That.
Was it hard? Do you have to learn stage presence? Is there something about it?
No, I guess I'm just sexy. When I walk out there, you got, oh, it's him.
Well, I talked years ago. Phyllis Diller was an avid guest.
Oh, what a wonderful lady.
Lady. She was on this.
Oh, program. I love Phyllis so much.
Well, she used to talk about how that she played some clubs where she did not do very well, and she learned how to get on stage and get off and have a stance.
Well, she was a very talented woman. I can't even imagine Phyllis ever having any problems. Because to me, she was one of the brilliant ones, and there have been some very brilliant women: Carol Burnett, Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller.
You have been listening to A Special Tribute to the celebrities in 2018 who passed away, who were also interviewed by our very own Scott Spears. We thank all of our celebrity guests for sharing their time with us here on The Talking Place. This is Adam Lepp, wishing you a happy, prosperous, healthy, and fun-filled new year in 2019. Of course, Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, will be having many more of his famous celebrity interviews all year long. You can go to the archives on our website at wwgh1071.com to listen to any of these interviews. I can assure you, it is time well spent. Your ears and your brain cells will thank you. Happy New Year from The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, online at WWGH1071.com. This is Adam Lepp.